Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, this is Isaac the Nothing Miller, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio West. Hey, if you haven't already, check out the new kayakfishingradio.com website. You can now go to the page, listen to the show live, listen to the archives, and when we're live on the air, you can also join in the chat room. Of course, we're on the air, what is that, four times a week, three different nights. We got Tuesday nights. We start off the day with Rob, a bad cast. I'll never get that right. DeVore, he's got his show on just before mine at 5 o'clock Pacific. That's 8 o'clock Eastern time. My show's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. That's on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, we have Mark Wheeler doing our Atlantic show. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, that's going to be 5 Pacific. And Thursdays, we have, as always, our Kayak Fishing Radio Roundtable Nights. That's hosted by the one and only Chip Gibson. And that was and always will be the original Kayak Fishing Radio show. That's on, like I said, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And like I said, you can catch all of that on kayakfishingradio.com. Of course, I'm the Nothing. You can find me on yakangler.com, kayakfishingradio.com, and there's also my blog, isaac-online.com. It's 1S, 2As. Get you caught up on things that's going around on the West Coast, what little bit I know. Here in Portland, the waters are slowly but surely receding. Thank goodness. The Columbia is finally below flood stage, though not by much. It's still some pretty high water. So that's got, you know, currents moving again through the Willamette system. What else we got? The Shadron right now is pretty much at its peak. The shad fishery is awesome on light tackle. There's a ton of fish to be had, and they make great bait. I know a few folks that like to pickle and eat them. That's not my thing. Like I said, they make great bait. Monster sturgeon are going to start showing up, and there's no better bait than fresh shad. Of course, the shad is also great for crabbing, halibut fishing, and you know, here in Oregon we still have some good halibut fishing going on. It's in season, actually. I can't say that it's necessarily good. The fish are out there. You got to go deep. Water's warming up finally, and you got a long ways to go to get on halibut grounds. Here, like I said, with the rivers the way they are, there are still salmon running. We've got sockeye showing up in the system now, and summer steelhead. From what I've been reading, if you get out to go salmon fishing, you're pretty much looking at about a 1 in 10 chance of getting on the fish. They are out there. Go out sturgeon fishing, you're pretty much guaranteed to find some fish. They are all over the place, and like I said, with the shad running, the sturgeon follow those every year. And the fishing is just phenomenal. The lower Columbia is still open to retention on white sturgeon. So if you're looking for something to eat, you can pick one up. The fork length measurements have to be between, see if I can remember that, 38 to 48 inches. Check ODFW's website, get the regs directly. They're usually posted at most of the popular boat launches as well. Personally, I like to catch and release them. Granted, they're real tasty fish, but there's not a whole lot of them to go around. Out on the coast, I touched on a little bit with the halibut. This last weekend was killer for fishing if you were able to get out. Surf levels were down below 3 feet, so you got to take advantage of that whenever you can, because that's just too cool. That's pretty much as flat as things get here on the West Coast. So you know, tear it up. Northern California, you know, things have been hitting up pretty good there. There's still some Dungeness crab rolling around. So if you want to get out crabbing, they're out there. It's killer. So the rockfish, they're in close. They're feeding up a storm. And hey, if you didn't hear the other week when I was out at the Oregon Rockfish Classic, I had black rockfish tailing at the water. They were all over the place. It was crazy. And I was there without my fly rod. Southern California, white sea bass are here. Get out there, get fishing. That's some killer stuff. So good eats there, great fights. And, of course, there's some big fish out there. I haven't been fishing since the Oregon Rockfish Classic. I suffered a back strain and have been doing chiropractic and physical therapy work ever since then. So I've not been on the kayak, unfortunately. So in the meantime, I've been building, or I just started building anyway, a new fishing rod. I've never built a fishing rod before. I've done a little bit of work, you know, repairing stuff, you know, replacing guides, that type of thing, but never got to build my own rod. And the other month I was up at Cabela's outside of Olympia there and cruising around. I really didn't need anything, but I figured, hey, I'm in the area. It's my closest one. See what else they got. You know, sitting around, see if anything just jumped out at me. So went back into the bargain cave, and lo and behold, I found, you know, a little building kit, or remnants thereof, for a fly rod, $10. Fly rod, it was the reel seat handle, all the guides, stripping guides, some epoxy, some glue, some threads. And I figured, heck, for $10, that's pretty much everything I need. I just got to go out and find a blank. So picked that up, and I've been sitting on it for a while, and finally started the rod build, and I'm excited. Fortunately, living here in Portland, I managed to make a quick run up to Lamaglass. You know, we're talking, and they happen to just have exactly what I was thinking about. It's an 8-foot rod, 5-weight fiberglass, and I'm stoked. I made a quick walk across the parking lot to Angler's Workshop and picked up a little bit more gear and got to work on it. Still a ways away, but I've got the rod handle, the reel seat, tip top. They're all glued on in place. Working on the guide spacing now. Stoked. Can't wait to get this rod to work. But I figured, you know, hey, what a better topic than kayak fishing rods. You know, there's been in the past a lot of guys, or there's been manufacturers that actually made kayak-specific fishing rods. You know, locally, Lamaglass made one, and I never even saw one in my life before it was discontinued. I don't know how long they made it. I'm only assuming a year, maybe two. Okuma made one, and it was great. It floated. I didn't hear anything bad about it for a while. And then butts started falling off. Guides started having issues. I don't know. Quality control issue occurred somewhere. And that has now since been discontinued. So all that we have left, I know Tika makes a kayak fishing specific rod. Now, Tika's is the only one that, you know, yes, like the others, the rods float with the gear attached, but they're the only ones that, you know, made some pretty short rods. I know when I was at ICAST last year, I was thoroughly impressed with their rods, but they were pretty short. Generally talking about 5.5 to 6.5 feet. Makes things tough if you're trying to get the rod tip around the bow like we often do when we're fishing. But the shortness of it kind of intrigued me. Very durable rod, almost durable, like ugly stick durable. Watch the guy grab the tip, bend it around, and touch the rod length with the tip. Pretty impressive. When I was at ICAST also last year and talking about it, they were saying that the kayak fishing rods were going through a redevelopment. Haven't heard anything since. I'm assuming the rods are still around. Hopefully, you know, here in a couple of weeks back down at ICAST, we'll get a chance with Kayak Fishing Radio and YakAngler.com. Take a look at these new rods. They're not all that popular. I don't know why. I haven't seen much about them here in the U.S. Of course, in the U.K., the guys love them there. So I know they're here. I just don't know why we're not seeing too much. Hopefully, we'll get some new stuff. I know Feather Sticks, based out of Redmond, Washington, great rod manufacturer, some fabulous fishing rods. They are developing a kayak fishing rod. Though from what I hear from the guys that are working with the rods, probably going to be a while before we see anything more. From what I understand, probably another year, if not two. Not sure exactly what they're working on, but hey, they're out there. They're trying to develop it, so why not? So those are kayak fishing specific rods. And what makes the kayak fishing specific rods different than any other run-of-the-mill rod, generally, one thing they all do is they all float. The rod will float the whole setup, including an appropriately sized fishing reel. So, you know, if you mount up a big, giant, you know, pin international on there, it may not work, but, you know, an appropriately sized reel will float. And I think from what I've read, at least for the old Akumas, they were talking about a reel that weighed 20 ounces or less. So there's a good amount of flotation there to keep those going. Most of the kayak fishing specific rods also had leash attachment points. And, you know, I know leashes are a good thing to keep you from losing your gear, but I never use them. I should say rarely ever use them. It's, you know, too many strands of stuff, wires, rope, cable, whatever you choose to use, just strewn out all over the place. And I've always had a pretty tough time with that. You know, if I'm actively fishing with it, it's not leashed up. But if I've got it behind me and I'm not using it, it's just sitting there, I'll throw a leash on there most of the time. If I'm coming in and out of the surf or I'm looking at some pretty wicked conditions, then absolutely they're going to be leashed together. So, and of course, the paddle, that's always leashed on. But we're talking kayak fishing rods. So, you know, I've got a number of you guys listening in. If you have something you want to say on the topic, any other questions about kayak fishing or just want to share some recent fishing reports, please give me a call on the show. Phone number is 714-816-4727. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Talking pretty much fishing rods tonight. I don't have any of the aforementioned specific kayak fishing rods, but I would love to get my hands on at least one, if not two. I've always been really impressed. I mentioned earlier the Tikka rods. You know, they're not the best looking rods. They're bright orange, and I think I remember some chartreuse green in there. They're bright, but hey, if you're not fishing with them and they're sitting on your in your crate, acts as a safety device. Can't go wrong there. Was really impressed with their build, so I'm really hoping to get my hands on one of those here in the not-too-distant future so I can get a good idea of what they're all about. Playing with things on the sale, on the floor at ICAST and at some of the couple of the local fishing shows, was really impressed with them, so hopefully I'll get my hands on them. Otherwise, is it what makes a fishing rod good to use on a kayak? Everyone's going to have their own different opinion of what they're looking for, but I'll tell you what I'm generally looking for. First or foremost, I want to be able to get the rod tip around the boat. Now, you know, I mentioned the Tikkas were pretty short, making that kind of difficult. And they don't—you don't always need to be able to get the rod around. Remember, we're on kayaks; they're pretty nimble. I've been able to turn the boat around so that I can get to the fish just by using the rod and the fight of the fish. So, you know, it would have been easier just to bring the rod tip around so I can fight from the other side. But if the boat will turn around just as well, you know, it's not a high priority. But generally speaking, if you want to get the rod tip around the nose, you're talking at least a 6.5 foot rod. If you've got a big kayak like my Trident 15, you're probably looking more along the lines of a 7 to 7.5 foot rod. You also have to take a look at the the action of the rod, be it a fast action, a slow action, medium fast, everywhere in between. And that's going to have an effect many ways. That's going to affect the way that you fight the fish. It's going to affect the way that you cast. Because we're sitting down most of the time in a kayak, you know, we need that extra length to get a good distance on the cast. And a longer, say 7, 7.5, 8 foot rod is going to help that out. Now, you with the action, if you have a fast action rod, most of that flex in the rod is going to happen in the first third of the rod length. Now, so if you're looking at a 7.5 to 8 foot rod that's fast action, you're going to get more distance out of that cast because you've got a longer arc, you're going to have some faster speeds on the cast, and a longer distance. But it's going to be, in my experience, those faster rods are usually a bit more delicate. Case in point, I had a, I'll not name names on this, because I like the company, hated with a passion, this 7 foot 10 inch rod that I've used twice and broke 3 times. It was super fast action. And the moment I did anything to try to cast any amount of weight, say over 1 ounce, it snapped. The worst part is the rod was rated for a 2 ounce lure. And so that was really tough to deal with. Replaced it the first time under warranty, tried to use it a second time. It snapped before I even got the line in the water. So I just threw that rod down and never touched it again. But that's why you have to pay attention to you know, how fast or slow a rod is, the power behind it, because there's going to be a lot of things going on. It all depends on what you're fishing for. If you're fishing for big fish, you know, a fast action rod, is that most of that flex is in the very tip of the rod. If it's not a very sturdy rod, you're going to break it. Generally speaking, you're going to want a slower action rod to help work with those larger fish. The rod I primarily use on the coast, as well as sturgeon fishing, they're medium-powered rods. There's a good amount of flex. More than half of the rod is going to flex, and that puts a lot of force behind, pumping the rod, fighting the fish, puts a lot more power into things. And it's a really good way to go. In general, actually, I'd say most every one of my rods is a medium to medium fast action rod. And so that gives you the best in casting and fighting strength. And I think that's, in my opinion, the only way to go. Beyond that, I don't know. And that's been something I've been trying to think about for well over a year now. I got a question here. Somebody asking what type of rod I was talking about that was breaking. Sorry, no names tonight. I kind of want to keep that one anonymous. I like their gear. I think it was just that model rod just was not made to be used from a kayak. I'm not sure, maybe from a boat standing up might have worked so long as you weren't casting. I don't know. It was just a pretty tough situation. It's good for parts. Like I said, I'm not going to say their name because I know they make plenty of other excellent rods, excellent reels. In fact, I have three of their reels. Love them. They're great. But for whatever reason, that one rod, I said, hey, if you have the opportunity, if you have any questions, if you got some input on the rod, kayak fishing rod category, give me a call, 714-816-4727. Would love to hear from you. Hey, since you're listening to the show, let me tell you about Tommy Ellis. Tommy is a lure builder down around Tennessee, if I remember correctly, and he's passing on a great deal for anyone listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. Like I said, he builds custom lures. He repaints commercial lures. Some crazy awesome cedar plugs out there that would be killer on bass, muskie, stripers, tuna, you name it. They're awesome. Like I said, he also repaints commercial lures. He's got some great baby smallmouth bass patterns. I love his goldfish, too. His mackerels, insane. Just some beautiful paintwork on his plugs. You know, if you've got that laser eye shad that the color's just not right for you, he can fix that. He'll custom paint it for you. You can check out all of his gear online. It's followingghost, all one word, .blogspot.com. Click on the tab there that says lures, and you can get an idea of some of the work that he does. Beautiful, like I said. See something you like, or if you get some ideas, something that you, maybe a lure that you want painted, shoot him an email through the website. Tell him you heard about his website and his gear on Kayak Fishing Radio West. Tell him what you're looking for. Maybe it's a specific paint job. Maybe it's a specific lure. Maybe it's both of those. If you're looking at several lures. It's that. Tell him what you're looking for. Tell him you heard about him on Kayak Fishing Radio West. Tommy will knock off 20% of your total just for listening to the show. Like I said, he's got some great lures, like I mentioned. You know, even if you're not in the market, if you're not shopping around for something, at least you have to take a look at his stuff. You got anyone that knows that has ever looked at a fishing rod will appreciate the artwork in some of his lures. Like I said, his website is followingghost.blogspot.com, and I'll get that posted here in the chat room for everyone that's listening in while they're in the chat room. There we go. Great stuff, like I said. Check him out. He's also on Twitter. That's Ghost1066. Check him out. You can't go wrong. Like I said, I'm building a rod right now, and thought it'd be, why not talk about custom rods? Custom rods, there's so many options out there. What type of rod blank you want to use, what type of guides, the reel seat. Are you making a spinning reel, a casting reel, a jigging rod, a fly rod like I am? There's a lot of information out there, and a lot of retailers out there. Probably two of the most well-known rod building websites, if you're looking for the accessories, if you're looking for the blanks, that type of thing. First and foremost is probably mudhole.com, mudhole.com. They're based out of Florida. They have pretty much everything. They've got Loomis, Lama Glass. They have their own series of rods. They've got Seeker blanks, Temple Fork blanks. The list goes on forever. There's too many to even delve into. They also have some great kits. They've got a lot of great how-to information. They even do classes. They had a class back in March or April in Seattle. The guys from Florida flew all the way to Seattle to give a presentation on rod building. Some great gear there. And I couldn't tell you how many hours I've spent on their website. Another great online retailer is anglersworkshop.com. They're great. You probably heard them mentioned early in the show. They're right next to Lama Glass up in Woodland, Washington. So it's a very short drive from Portland, a little bit longer if you're coming from the Seattle area. They've got their website. If you're outside, you don't have to make the drive. They're awesome, well-renowned also. Look them up online. I don't think there's ever been a bad thing said about them either. Tons of gear, a lot of great knowledge. Probably not so much technical information on their website when compared to Mudhole, but they have just as much gear, and you can't go wrong with either company. If you're looking to build a rod, need some help, rodbuildingforum.com. So a load of information on there as well, a ton of experience. A lot of people know what they're doing. There's some really crazy impressive wrap work being done. Some ornate patterns, people that are stitching fish pictures onto the rods with thread. Just beautiful. Way, way beyond anything that I could ever think about building. I'm just a wrap it up, call it good. These guys are some pretty intense stuff. Like I said, that's the rodbuildingforum.com. There's also a bunch of great tutorials on YouTube. Some of those are from Mudhole. Some of them are from other people that just enjoy building rods. Definitely take your time on YouTube. You can spend a week going through all the videos on YouTube on custom rod building. And definitely that's a lot better than sitting at your desk at work. Check out some of the stuff some of those guys on YouTube have going on. It is really impressive. Between the retailers online, rod building forums, and YouTube, I'm st- stoked about building this rod. It's going to be pretty phenomenal, and I feel very comfortable with everything I'm doing. You know, of course, you know, in the past I have replaced rod guides, and if you've replaced a rod guide in the past, then you can build a rod. It's pretty much all you're doing is, you know, putting on, you know, 9, 10, 11 rod guides, and then you glue the handle on. So it's not difficult work, but, you know, like I said, there's a ton of information out there. So if you're looking for a specific rod, then you can really get down to exactly what you want. You know, you can buy every component that you would want. Say Seeker made your favorite jigging rod, but the butt was too, you didn't like how long the butt was, and you wished the foregrip was longer. Well, you go buy the blank, you buy different handles, different grips, build it yourself, and probably save a few bucks in the process. And you get the satisfaction of building your own rod and then catching a fish with it. So, and if you build your own lures too, then you're doing all the work yourself. Like I said, there's a lot going on out there. I still have not found the answer on what it takes to get a rod to float, both the rod and the reel. It's got to be out there somewhere. I'm looking. I know for sure we're talking about foam grips, and I'm assuming the butt section at least is sealed. Most rods, they're wide open. Even at the ferrule where the two sections connect, if it's a multi-piece rod, there's a plug there, but it's not sealed. So I'm wondering if that's what's going on. Then I don't know how are they shipping all these around. Who knows? I know most of these kayak fishing rods, especially the Akuma line, had some very thick foam grips, very plentiful in the foam grip department, almost excessively so in my opinion. But they had a lot of foam, like I said, were they sealed up? I don't know. That might be the answer. I know I'm going to play with it after I get this fly rod built. I've been thinking about, you know, building my first kayak-specific fishing rod just to kind of mimic what the other manufacturers have done in the past and just to see what I can come up with. I know I'm already enjoying the process. We'll see how much I think about it when I'm all done with it. Anyway, like I said, let's see, we're covering pretty much everything that I had already thought of at this point. Like I said, if you're listening in, give me a call. Chip in. Phone number 714-816-4727. It's Kayak Fishing Radio West. I've been trying to see if I can find some more reports from around the area. And I'm unfortunately not getting it too much. Now, this is the time of year that on the West that the fishing is usually its best. We've got, freshwater fishing is just going awesome between trout and bass. The ocean's starting to lay down, so you got all the rockfish, lingcod, and all that going on. So people tend to start shutting their mouth a little bit this time of year. They don't want people getting clued in on everything that's going on. And that definitely seems to be the case. The other week, you might have caught the show with Rory O'Connor out of Bellingham, Washington. He's been in Florida this weekend. He's not shy about his report, though. He picked up a 70 to 80-pound tarpon on the kayak. That's something he's been stoked about. You can catch the video on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I don't remember his YouTube name. You can find it on Facebook. You can also find the video on northwestkayakanglers.com. It's pretty cool. I know he's totally stoked about it. Who wouldn't be? Anybody in the Northwest would be pretty happy catching a tarpon. not many of us ever get the chance. Of course, we see it on the TV all the time. Outside of that, like I said, not a whole lot. There's plenty of fishing going on. Like I said, everyone's been pretty quiet about it. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hey, folks, thanks for listening in tonight. I'm Isaac the Nothing Miller. This is Kayak Fishing Radio West. Like I said, we've got four shows a week, two on Tuesdays. I'm the second one. We've got a Wednesday show and a Thursday show. Check out all the information at Kayak Fishing Radio West. You can also find the links for our Twitter page and Facebook pages on the website. Like I said, that once again, all one word, spelled all correctly, kayakfishingradio.com. Definitely check it out. I'll check in with you guys again next week. Hopefully we can get a guest on the show and keep this one going. For tonight, thanks for listening.